Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, with His blessings and mercy in this dunya, He has given us such a system that very easily in this dunya we are able to carry out our functions and tasks. And I will bring you all towards this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given to us. That which ni'mah is it due to which all our tasks and functions of the world are fulfilled? My brothers, that ni'mah, that gift, that favor of Allah is this, that all of the actions in the world that we implement, in those actions Allah has instilled enjoyment and good feeling. And if we don't have enjoyment and good feeling in the tasks that we carry out during the day, then we would never want to do those actions. But we pay not much attention to this fact. And in reality, enjoying doing things and liking doing things and running towards things and the passion in doing actions, that is what makes us do that action or implement the action. And if we didn't have that jazbah or passion or love or liking or enjoyment in doing an action, we wouldn't do it. And the more you enjoy doing something, the more you will run after the action. And the less you enjoy doing something, the less you will run towards that action. I'll give you an example, then you'll understand quickly what I'm saying. That there's no action in life. For example, in our everyday lives, we eat food. We eat food. And the reason that we eat food is because we want taste from the food. And in that food, Allah Ta'ala has put such taste and enjoyment that a person, even if his stomach is full, he continues to eat. Because there's taste in the eating. For example, if somebody is invited to a feast and the dastarkhwan is laid out, the food mat is laid out, and there's good food on that mat, and some people will be eating at that time. And one person who's eating, amongst others, and alhamdulillah, he's eating such a way that he puts hand on the biryani, then he puts hand on the chicken, and then he eats another delicacy and another dish and another plate he takes the food. And he's eating so much that even the tears are coming from the eyes, was when there's a lot of spice in the food and there's water coming out of the nose. This is enjoyment in the eating. And he's looking that, oh, is the food being emptied from the plate? I want some more food. I need some more food to be brought in the bowl. Or is there less food in this bowl? To this extent, his feeling is such that if my stomach allows me, I don't want to stop eating. I want to keep on eating. I want to keep on eating. And you'll see in feasts and parties this happens. And there's another man sat there and he just eats a few pieces and he struggles even to eat a few pieces. Now both are interviewed. That why is there a difference between both individuals? One is both have a stomach. Both have a desire to eat, and the first person eats so much, he's eating so much, and there's tears from his eyes and his nose, and he's feeling the spice and the burning sensation, but he carries on eating, and the other person doesn't want to eat at all. So the first person was asked, "Then what's the reason that today, mashallah, you've eaten so much food and you liked it?" He said, "Oh, the biryani was very tasty, mashallah, the chicken was very tasty indeed, and there was a lot of spices in the chicken, oh, I really liked it, and this cook, he really cooks the food in a nice way, and I enjoyed myself so much, a lot of taste and delicacy, etc." And because he was enjoying the taste, he kept on putting the food down into his stomach and kept on eating and eating. The second man said, "That's fine. I eat a little bit. I just put a bit of food into my stomach and that's enough for me. I don't need more than that." So what you realize here is that everyone has taste in a different way. And everyone enjoys food in a different way. And a person who enjoys food a lot and the taste will eat as much as he can, and the other person won't eat as much. In the same way, we have the enjoyment and the taste of the dunya. There are some people, for example, in the dunya, they are in a very difficult way, in a tough situation. And there are others who, for example, as soon as they see money and currency, they run more after money, and they have their bank balances and treasure chests full of money, and they keep on touching the notes, the physical paper, because they like touching money and they like counting money. I've seen people like this. Because passion and desire is I want to keep on counting the notes and the cash. And when the shop closes and I'm tired and I go home, then I pick up the cash again and my eyes are closing. And I don't even know if I'm going to spend that money ever in my life, whether I'm capable, but I feel the enjoyment. Pick up the cash and count the cash and collect the cash. So that person has taste and enjoyment of the dunya. And he's running after the dunya to earn more. And there are other people who, for example, they don't have the taste or enjoyment in counting money. So some people are stuck in different things, in different actions, in different pastimes. But everyone is stuck. Allah Ta'ala says that I have given you the options of what to do. And you can take the enjoyment through the different ways and the different options. In the same way, we have the body, the bodily function. So what are the ways that we can utilize the body for benefit? For example, a person who runs after enjoyment, all of the enjoyment of the world are temporary and they will run out after a finite amount of time. A person can try so much and work and cook and put spices, etc. He can spend hours cooking the food, but it only takes 10 minutes to eat that food. So that enjoyment will only last 10 minutes. For example, if you put the morsel of food on your tongue, soon as that food goes down through your throat, finished. That's dunya. The enjoyment is finite. So we should learn a lesson from this, that how much did we work so hard during the day to earn the dunya, and it runs out after a few minutes. For example, mal and cash and money that we run after trying to make that money, and we have forgotten in that effort that is this haram or halal? Shall I leave salah in running after money? Shall I leave sujood and prostration and going to the masjid? So much the taste is that no, I need to eat meat today, and then I don't have money for meat, and then I'll do fraud and I'll lie and I'll deceive people just to get the money for the meat. And then when that meat is cooked, that taste for 5 minutes, even the taste did not go with me. Even after a few minutes, the taste disappears, and that's the end of the story. All day long, for days, just to give taste to my tongue. And what did I leave to get that taste? I sacrificed my days and my hours and my minutes. And this is the taste of the dunya that tells us itself that it will disappear. So I ask you all a question, that the body, the bodily functions, and related to rizq. And Allah Ta'ala says, I've kept aside rizq. That we just spoke about rizq of the body. But what about the rizq, the food of the ruh, of the soul? What will be the taste of the food of the soul? Tell me. With honesty. If we can run after days and months to earn, to buy food and meat, to give taste to the tongue for seconds, then imagine that khiza, that food that Allah Ta'ala has given for the ruh, that Allah Ta'ala has given for the ruh, which is forever, which will be enjoyed forever, which will give benefit forever. Then can we imagine the taste of that ruh, the food for the soul? The enjoyment and the taste and how long it will last. How much a person will enjoy the food for the ruh, for the soul. And how long it will take effect and how long it will last, this food of the ruh. And there's nothing that can compare with this. And we can only understand through the example that Allah Ta'ala has given in the Quran. There's only one example that Allah Ta'ala has given here in the Quran. Those people who do not sleep all night long on the beds. They keep on tossing and turning from side to side. Do they have a stomachache? Do they have a cold that they can't sleep? Are they about to have a heart attack? And their body is not resting on the bed. They don't want to stay on the bed. Their mattress is soft. Even if it's a 10,000 pound bed. But the Quran says that person will keep on tossing and turning through the night. Why? Because that individual has taste and enjoyment in that action. That it's about to be morning. It's before Fajr time. And he's desperate, or she's desperate, that I don't want to stay sleeping. I want that time to come, the last part of the night. And I want to feed my ruh, my soul, with the ibadah, with the remembrance of Allah. And imagine how a person, when he's in that mode of life, the enjoyment that person can have. So when a person tastes the enjoyment of getting up in the latter part of the night, and there are many examples that we've heard and read, all night long would pass and the pious elders would stay up and do ibadah and nafal salah. They would recite the Quran. They would do dhikr of Allah. All night long they would read hadith and Quranic verses. Aren't there examples like this in front of us? What was the reason for this? They were human beings like us. Because they attained the taste. Their ruh attained the taste. They attained the enjoyment of worshipping and doing actions for Allah. And when the enjoyment is attained, that's it. When a person, for example, as I said, a person who likes eating, he says, I want more for my stomach, I want to fill my stomach. And that person gets to that situation, that doesn't matter what happens tonight. I want to spend the night remembering Allah. People don't understand the true enjoyment and achievement that's attained. Because Allah Ta'ala has instilled the enjoyment and taste in the amal. And any amal you take, any good deed that Allah Ta'ala has given, there cannot be a good deed that is implemented by a person and you don't attain the enjoyment and the good taste of it. That's why I stated that even if it's a so-called small deed, don't say it's a small deed. You don't know how much greatness and taste there is in this so-called small deed. You can never recognize this or appreciate this. Allah says, you will get the taste of this, definitely. Where will you get the taste? In the hereafter, when you will see in Jannah and Paradise, that this deed that I implemented, Allah will give you the fruit in Paradise, and the fruit of that deed, that you will earn that deed in the world, and you'll eat it in Paradise. Allah will say, are you enjoying the taste? Are you enjoying the taste of this fruit in Paradise? Such a taste it will be, that there is no example that can give us, there's no example in the world that can teach us what is the enjoyment of that deed. Allah Ta'ala says Himself that you cannot recognize the taste of that amal. You don't have the understanding, the awareness, the consciousness. You don't even appreciate the good deeds in the world. Allah Ta'ala has given you a few examples of those things in the world, like bananas and apples and honey flowing and meat. Allah has given us examples in the scriptures to give us an awareness, but we can't understand the reality of those rewards in Paradise. We can't. So this is the reality. Now, if for example, we live in the world and we eat and drink and experience enjoyment through the things of the world. Yes? So the first thing is that when a person gets enjoyment from something in the world, then what happens after that? What happens after that? Due to the enjoyment and the taste of the action, then that person will repeat that action. Some way, somehow, that person wants to repeat that enjoyment. You don't need to remind that person. He will run himself after the action. For example, I love the dunya. No one will say to me, go and earn money, because I love earning money. I'll run myself to that job or to that business. I'll sacrifice my time, my effort, my energy, because I've got enjoyment in earning that money. Because I've realized and experienced the taste and enjoyment of money. Secondly, that the heart doesn't get filled. I keep on counting money, keep on running after money, keep on looking after money, keep on hearing about money, and I'm doing that one house, then two houses, one house here, one in India, one in Pakistan, one in the village, one in the city. And we don't understand that. How much more do you want? Because I love running after the assets, after resources of the world, isn't it? So what we realize here is that a person doesn't need to be reminded to run to dunya if he loves the dunya. And second, he doesn't tire in earning. He repeats that effort, repeats the effort. And the third thing is that when a person learns and realizes that everything is the dunya, he runs after the dunya. Gives his whole body and life for the dunya. Now those people who have earned and understood the enjoyment and the taste of those deeds that are related to the hereafter, then they also get these three things. Number one, when a mu'min understands the taste of salah, then you don't need to tell that person about reading salah. He'll run after reading salah. Doesn't matter how much you stop that person. You say, no, no, I can't leave salah. Why? Because that person's got to the level that he or she has earned the taste of the salah. He or she will be like a fish out of water. He'll tremble. No, 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 I don't want my salah to be missed. That person will sweat. Nothing will be good to that person. He won't like his shop or his wife or his house or his friends. For example, when it's time for salah and someone who likes you and he meets you, you'll think he's your enemy. No, 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 no. Don't come to my house at this time. I can't speak to you this time. I've got the taste of salah. How can I leave salah? I need to go to the masjid. I need to pray. Please don't disturb me. There is no need for you to remind that brother, brother, pray salah. So you see now, the difference here is that when you earn the taste of salah, then you will run to salah. But if you don't have the taste and enjoyment of salah, then you won't run after salah. But when you earn this passion and this keenness, then that individual will run after praying salah. Won't need to be reminded. And how much taste is there? How much and what do we get for this taste? You cannot imagine what is the reward for attaining the keenness and passion and taste for salah. Imagine the maqam and the ni'mah and the reward Allah has kept just for one salah. Imagine the wealth a person earns for reading just one salah. One salah. Praying. And Allah has announced also the reward. Allah says that this salah, if someone says pray salah, that's different. How dare anyone in the world not pray salah? Allah's ordering. Allah, the master of the universe. End of story. We don't need to know about reward. Allah doesn't need to tell us there's this tawab, you'll get this, rizq will increase, wealth will increase, this will happen. Allah doesn't need to tell us this. If Allah says do it, that's it. But concentrate on the point I'm making now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you listening to me with alertness? Why is it that Allah Ta'ala said that pray salah? What's the reason that there's reward for praying salah? What's the reason behind this? As Abdullah bin Mas'ud, great companion, radiyallahu anhu, he was in a majlis in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from his tongue came out, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned back and looked and said, Mas'ud, do you know what you have just recited, this kalima just now? He said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't know, I'm not aware. Ajib. And Rasulullah said, you recited this, but do you know the meaning of this verse? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah. He said, ya Rasulullah, you and Allah and his Rasul know best. I don't know what I've just said. This was the style of the Sahaba. Even he, though he knew and had some knowledge, but he wanted to learn. Rasulullah said that the meaning of this kalima that you just recited, O Abdullah bin Mas'ud, is that you, without Allah's protection, no man can be saved without Allah's protection. No man, no soul. And without Allah's help, no man, no person can do a good deed. No person can do a good deed. So when he realized the fazilah, the virtues of this kalima, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and the point that I'm trying to make, so you learn through this hadith, he was a great sahabi, and he was one of the greatest companions at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. What was the reason? In other words, amal, that when a person knows the meaning and the reward of the deed, then his enjoyment increased. The mazah came. Now, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, after hearing, then he went more towards the passion and feeling a desire. Ah, such a great kalima. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has defined this to me. And that's what we need to learn today while we're sitting here. In reality, that all of the kalimats that Allah Ta'ala has given, all the amal, all of the deeds and worship actions in Islam, the feeling, the enjoyment and the taste, I will tell you a secret how to get passion for doing good deeds. Inshallah, if you do this formula, implement this formula, then you'll see the same salah you pray every day, the same actions, the same amal, so much keenness and passion will increase that you cannot imagine. Now what is that formula? Little point we need to implement, little point we need to register in our minds and hearts, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do an action and gives us the tawfiq to do that action. Yeah? If Allah gives us the tawfiq, for example, we are leaving home to go and pray salah, Allah has given us the tawfiq that we're even doing wudu to prepare for salah, or we're doing miswak to pray salah. We do this, don't we? How do it? Or we put clothes on, time for salah, quickly put your clothes on. Where are you going? I'm going to pray salah. Quickly goes through the car, opens the door, turns the ignition, runs to, and you go to do wudu quickly, do wudu quickly. Salah time. Putting on the clothes, someone's talking while doing wudu, miswak. Same amal is being done, isn't it? And all these amal that we're doing is without taste, without enjoyment, and without the passion. Remember this. It's just a habit. It's just become a routine and a repetitive action. Oh, I'm praying salah, I'm doing wudu. But there's no enjoyment in these deeds. Two people were eating. One was eating with enjoyment, filling his stomach. The other one just ate for the sake of it. So we are now filling our stomach for the sake of it, praying salah for the sake of it. But Allah Ta'ala wants that me, you, all of us, that in the world we should experience the enjoyment of amal. Allah says that I've given you all the actions under the sun. They are all great. Don't do them out of habit's sake. Don't do them for the sake of repetitiveness. Oh, I've done dhikr today. Oh, I prayed. Allah said, no, take enjoyment from everything you do. There's a great, great taste and enjoyment for every worship that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. For example, you leave home to go and pray salah. And suddenly you think for a moment. What should you think? That, look, I'm going to pray salah. And I've heard the hadith, I went to Ta'lim and I went in Tabligh, and Ta'lim, the book was being read, and I heard this hadith. We heard this, don't we? That's why we sit in Ta'lim, to learn, to understand the wisdom behind the deeds that we're doing. Alhamdulillah, we go on chilla, we spend time on Jamaat for days. We learn the ilm of the deen. We learn the knowledge of the deen. So we get an opportunity. Allah Ta'ala has given opportunities. So the reason for us to learn, I'm telling you today, what is the reason? Listen to this. For example, we go, We spent time and we went with Taleem, we heard the knowledge being read and distributed. But after listening, we're being told that when you hear about the reasons behind practicing, when a hadith comes to your mind, to your heart, that when a person leaves home to go to pray salah, on every footstep Allah Ta'ala registers a good deed to his name and removes a sin from his deed, book of deeds. So a big message comes to us now. A big message comes to us. What's the message? Now, what is this message? It's registering in our heads, in our brain. Why is Allah Ta'ala sent us here today? Why we sat here today? We're sat in a majma', in a gathering, in a majlis. We're learning something. We spent some time. Allah has given us an amah. Is this a small thing that we sat here today? Why? Because this so-called small action will give us the taste when we run to salah. That when I leave home and I think that these are my footsteps going towards salah and I'm getting a good deed on every step and on every step a sin is being removed. When you think like this while you're walking, then your whole emotional situation will change. Subhanallah, I'm walking step by step. Every step a good deed. Every step my sins are being removed and my sins are being removed. And then I will feel like next time, oh, I want to walk to the mosque a longer route. So more sins are removed and more good deeds are brought to my name. And I get exercise. So Allah Ta'ala has made this rule that when you do amal due to passion and keenness, then you will run more after those amal and then the taste will increase. For example, wudu. You're doing wudu. Is wudu a small action? But we don't know the taste of wudu. We don't know the rewards of wudu. We don't know the enjoyment of wudu. In the hadith it is stated, when a person is doing wudu, as soon as he puts water on his hands, all of the sins of the hands are removed at that time. Soon as he rinses the mouth, all the sins of the mouth, the eyes, the mouth, the tongue are removed. When you're washing your feet, the sins of the feet are being removed, eliminated. Have you ever thought this while you're doing wudu? That the sins are being removed? But we don't get enjoyment. We think, oh, I'm sitting and I'm doing wudu and I'm passing my time. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us a great learning here. Great tawfiq Allah Ta'ala has given us. Tell me that from now, I speak about myself. That after Maghrib, before Maghrib, Asr, I was probably doing so many sins. After Asr, I went to the shopping center, shops, streets, looking at bad things, ghibat, backbiting, speaking bad about people, backbiting at home. No control, because we are human beings and we are prone to sinning. And who can say that he's never sinned? No one. This is Allah's karam and mercy, Allah Ta'ala's favor, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah Ta'ala's inam and reward. That Allah Ta'ala, after giving us iman, he has given us deeds that can give us rewards. This is Allah's karam. And hundreds of thousands of people are going around the world today. They don't know about reward or salah or remembering Allah. What a great mercy of Allah that from Maghrib till Isha, and the sins that I committed and the things that have attached to me, the wrongs, and if I die in this way, then straight away the adab will start on me. Then soon as I pass through the phase of death, don't ask about the grave. And these adab will be forever. By Allah's mercy, he's given me the sadqa of iman. And Allah has given us such a deed that after salah, after maghrib, Allah gave us another salah. Subhanallah. And this is about enjoyment and taste. People are afraid, oh, I'll have to pray Isha now. Oh, it's too difficult. But those who get enjoyment, Allah subhanallah, my Rabb, you give me such a deed. As soon as I go for Maghrib, then I will walk towards Maghrib. My sins will be removed. Then I'll come back and do wudu. And all my sins will be removed. And then I move on from there. Then I'll do miswat. And all my sins will be removed. And if I stand and do the dua after doing wudu, Allah will open the doors of Jannah for me. Subhanallah. Step by step, will you get enjoyment or not if you know these things? Will you not get the passion? So we never think these things. We never think these things. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu, his hadith that I've mentioned to you, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told him this, that you have recited the kalima, but you have not taken the enjoyment. If you want to know the enjoyment of reward of the deeds, then learn the definition of the deeds. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has told us the meaning of the actions, the thawab of the actions. Allah Ta'ala has defined everything to us, A to Z, so that we can get the benefit. Look at the rewards Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Look at this kalama. Great kalama. Even the young children can recite this. Everyone can recite this. But have we ever thought, what am I reciting and getting when I recite this? Because we don't know the knowledge behind this. We don't learn. We don't know the taste. If a person when he's reciting this kalama thinks, the Rasulullah said, do you know what are these kalamats? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Do we know? These kalamats are amazing kalamats. Brilliant kalimats. Such a great reward. Allahu Akbar. Why are they so super and great? Because when a person dies, and when a person is standing in front of Jahannam, and all my deeds will be pulling me towards Jahannam, what will happen? This kalimat will become a rope for me. They will become a shield for me. A protection for me. Left and right and forward and back. Front and behind. They will surround me like a shield and won't let me go into Jahannam. Now recite this kalma with enjoyment. Because you've got the meaning of this hadith. When a person recites with this understanding, he will never tire. He will say, I want to keep on reciting. Keep on reciting. Keep on reciting. And on top of this, Rasulullah said that these kalimats, these will be left in the hereafter and no other kalimats. Nor will this dunya remain, nor will this house remain, nor will business remain, nor will money remain, nor will the wife, nor will the children. What will remain? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, walakbar, because these are the dhikr of the adhkar of the hereafter. When a person's immersed and feels the taste of these kalimats, all night long he recites these kalimats. Can there be a greater assistance and friend than these kalimats for me in this world and the hereafter? Tell me. And when a person says, Allah, what a great reward you've given to me. There's such a great wealth. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, what you've announced. And Allah, if you didn't want to, you didn't have to tell me these rewards. I have still have to recite these kalimats. So we don't even know the reward, and we recite. Allah says, no. Abdullah bin Masood was taught that learn the definition and the meaning and the rewards behind every one of your actions, so that when you're practicing in Islam, you get the enjoyment. That's why Rasulullah said, when you walk past the gardens of paradise, sit and devour and eat the fruits. What did the Rasulullah say? That when you sit and do dhikr, which is the garden of paradise, you don't understand when you're doing dhikr. You think, oh, it's dhikr, time's passing, why do I have to do this? Because this is not dunya. Rather, when you're doing dhikr, you're sat in the garden of paradise, Riyadul Jannah, and you don't know the taste. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. We're going to start to recite this soon, aren't we? After we finish discussing, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, what is this kalma? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Rasulullah, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say it again, Subhanallah. And again, Subhanallah. Dunya, universe, kingdoms, lands, 10,000 more, 50,000 more, all of the treasures, billions more, put to one side and recite this kalima 3 times, cannot equate to these kalimats. Who said this? Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever gets the taste of these kalimats, Subhanallah, will he ask for kingdom? Will he ask for money and sultanates? The Wali Allah said, take the sultanate away from me. Take the kingdoms and the leadership and the money away from me, because he realized the enjoyment of this day. If you recite 3 times, Rasulullah said, what's the meaning of this kalima? The person who says Subhanallah, then between the heavens and the earth is filled with reward for that person. Filled with reward, the whole gap between the heavens and the earth. And can anything else fill the gap between the heavens and the earth compared to dhikr? And then a person says Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah again, and then say Alhamdulillah again. 3 times Alhamdulillah. How long did it take to say it? 3 seconds. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? That I gave you the tawfiq to recite this. Allah said, I love you for the sake of your iman and your kalima. I didn't make you swear from your tongue. I didn't make you backbite. I didn't make you whistle against someone else. I made you recite those kalimats that on the mizan, this kalima will be placed and it will put that mizan down. Down. Before we even get to paradise, before we even get to death, Allah Ta'ala has placed the sketch that on the day of judgment, the mizan will be present. The mizan's there now. You're stood on the earth. And you're saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Allah says, as soon as you recited, your mizan is full of the weight in the hereafter. While you're in the world. So when you know this word, will you not get the taste and enjoyment in reciting this in dhikr? So my brothers, is this not enough? That when Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq from today, we've learnt a new method and formula. That when we do amal during the day, someone's doing it for someone else to show someone. I don't have time, nor do you have time. Life is short. Even if you're in a short majlis, earn something. So have you learned today's sabak? Have you learned today's lesson? What is the lesson? That whatever words you recite from your mouth, whatever dhikr you do, whatever amal you do in life, tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran, subhanallah. Can there be any limit to the recitation of Quran and the reward? 1 letter of the Quran, 10 rewards. 1 letter, alif, lam, mim. How many rewards? 30. Now start reciting Quran and understand the taste. Recite Surah Yasin. Ah, Yasin. 20 rewards. 2 letters. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's rewards are coming into my lap free of charge. And you won't rush. You won't rush your salah. When you go in sajda, Subhana Rabbil Ala. Subhana Rabbil Ala. What does this mean? Allah, you give me sajda. Prostration. You'll go long prostration. long. And that person who doesn't get the prostration enjoyment, he'll do tungiyan. He will pop up and down like a bird, and he will quickly run away from prostration. Allah says, you get the reward in your prostration, but you are wasting the opportunity. Allah says, I want you to enjoy yourself in this world and the hereafter. So when the human being dies, such a person who ran after enjoyment of deen in the dunya, he'll walk into paradise laughing. He'll say, oh, I don't even know when I left the world and when I went into paradise. So Allah Ta'ala made this dunya for me paradise. Every step was an opportunity to earn the taste and enjoyment of the deen. So brothers, don't waste your time after today. Oh, it's okay, I'm just doing this for the sake of other people. Stop. Ask yourself 5 minutes. Why am I doing this action? Why am I going here? What have I learned from the Quran and the Hadith, the rewards? And your yaqeen will increase so much in Allah. So much that Allah is giving us free of charge the opportunity. So all of your lack of hope and despondency will eliminate that second. You won't be despondent anymore. You won't be a person who sit down and complain anymore. All of your fears and all of your, you can say, reasons to stop and not do actions will stop. Because you will say, no, I know the rewards that I'm earning. And we see this. As a majlis, we're sat here today. This is a majlis of dhikr. We're here to do dhikr, aren't we? Or are we here for some other reason? What's the reward for here today? So now, before we get the reward of this majlis, let's share the definition. Who's a kutubah? Who's an abdal? Who's a ghawth? No one's a wali wala. We're all sinners. I speak about myself. Forgive me, you are mashallah pious, all of you. I start with myself. That we all know who we are. I know how many amal I have. I know really what I am. Yes, but Allah Ta'ala's karam and fadl, that Allah's given all of us today the tawfiq to sit in this majlis to do the amal. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That Allah Ta'ala says that without my tawfiq, you cannot sit and recite this kalima. And coming here, sitting in dhikr, you, me, all of us. Allah Ta'ala says, I've written in my kitab that I will send this servant of mine to this town, to this country. There will be a majlis of dhikr. I will seat him there. I will allow him to sit and listen to the words of the deen. I will put in his heart my love, and then I'll give him rewards. So who prepared this? Allah. Allah, what's the reward of this majlis? Allah says, the rewards of this majlis is this, that as soon as the majlis ends, I will announce amongst the angels in the heavens, bear witness and testify, I've forgiven all of these people. Tell me, is this some cheap transaction? Where Allah brought me from? Where? How he brought me here? I had sins, and Allah seated me here because he wants to forgive my sins. Because we are the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a connection with such a great personality. Allahu Akbar. That Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to leave us empty-handed. Imagine, Allah could have made us born in the Ummah of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. I could have been born in the Ummah of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, or the other 124,000 prophets. But Allah Ta'ala made me born in which Ummah? With the Imam of the Anbiya, the head of the prophets, the Amir of the prophets. Look how lucky and how shameful. Shall I tell you one point today, brothers? Is this not a favor of Allah, Allah's karam and mercy? So why don't I have a beard on my chin? Tell me, why am I ashamed? How sad. Yani, if someone in the world, for example, you come to me today in the world, and I give you tea and water at home, and I give you £5. And you will then be, you will feel nice towards me. That I went to this brother's house, and he gave me tea, water, and £5. I go and spend it. Now, for example, when you meet me second time, won't you have love for me? You will embrace me. You will enjoy being with me. Look at the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul alameen. Allah sent him to us. He gave us the membership of his ummah. He taught us how to come out of Jahannam. He cried for us in the nights. He loves us more than his own children. He loves us more than his wives. And while he was passing away, what did he say? Ummati, 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 from his blessed lips. And when he asked from Allah in the third part of the night, he said, Allah, my ummah, forget the ummah, he asked for me, for you, for each of you, that Allah forgive this person. Allah, he took a promise from Allah, that Allah, I ask you, Allah, give more. Allah, give more. I don't want one of my ummati who was in my membership, my ummah, that you don't forgive him. Can there be a greater favor in the universe than this? And we'll realize when we're dying and the azab has stood at the time of death and the grave, that which great personality saved us in the grave. Then we'll realize. Can there be a greater favorable person in the universe? And what's the way to repay favor? To play games in the dunya? To leave his deen? To fulfill our desires and worship our desires? No. The way to repay the favor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one way, that whatever he liked, we need to also like and practice that. Allah's Nabi Sallam said, I don't like wealth. If he loved wealth, then he said that my grandchildren, why were they hungry? Rasulullah said, on my daughter's body, why were they not clothes? Why were there blisters on her hand? Why was there no food in her home for days? Why did she live the life of poverty? My daughter, said Rasulullah, weeks passed, her young children, her sons, yes, Subhanallah, Rasulullah loved his grandsons. Do you know how much he loved? Even today, the man loves the grandchildren more than his own sons and daughters. Men today, he can see that his children are in difficulty. But when young grandchildren, when the grandfather, mother, grandfather, there's no water in the house. And once it came that there's no food, she said that for days, my father, my children have not eaten to this extent that we are sick and ill, that I don't have anything to get medicine for my children. Hazrat Ali radiallahu went out and he didn't get paid for his work. When he came back, there's no food at home. Allahu Akbar. And he had so much strength. Subhanallah. How much strength was he given? That it was stated that if you want, then this mountain I can turn to gold for you, O Rasulullah. And Fatima, if you want, my daughter, then pick up this prayer mat of yours and see, you will see the valley of gold underneath. Do you want the valley of gold or do you want Akhirah, Fatima? She said, my father, I am your daughter, the daughter of Rasulullah, and I want the Akhirah. I don't want this dunya. Subhanallah. This is such a great personality. What a great example for us. And the favors he gave to us, and we can't even repay his favor, that the greatest love he had, the greatest desire, and he's given us reward on following him. And the greatest reward, not only that the love I gave to you, O my ummah, that you should like what I like, and I will not leave you empty-handed. You will get reward for this, and a great, great reward you will get. A great reward you will get. Man habba sunnati fa man habani. That whoever loves my sunnah, fa man abani. Whoever loves my method and my technique, was the reward. Then I will also love you, and you will go into paradise with me. If you keep the beard like me, wear the attire like me, wear the dress like me, eat like me, follow my sunnah, imitate me. See how I will start to love you, said Rasulullah. And then the taste and the enjoyment of following the sunnah. Tell me, one sunnah, the taste of following one sunnah, and what's the reward for it? Rasulullah said, my love, you will earn my love. So if I now wear imama, the turban, can it be? Can I ever think that I call myself deendar? I love Rasulullah and I love his beloved, and I cannot wear the imama on my head? I'm thinking, why should I wear imama? Don't take back what I'm saying. Why? Because we don't know the enjoyment of wearing the imama. Ask the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu. If I tell you the hadith of the Sahaba on the imama, then you will understand. What did the Sahaba say about the imama, the blessed turban? But we don't know the enjoyment, the taste, the importance, the reward. Do we know what is the great taste of wearing the imama compared to not wearing it? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's great sunnah. What is the taste of his azim sunnah? There's one taste I tell you, that if you wear the imama, you will increase so many fold in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many times over, and your heart will become noor ala noor. And what is the excuse? We don't have to follow the sunnah. Oh, it's a bit shameful. Or people laugh at me when they see that I wear this. Oh, it's not necessary. I can leave it, isn't it? It's not necessary. Aren't these excuses? And in comparison, put three things. And one action, look at the saying of Rasulullah, man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. What's more valuable? Love of Rasulullah or excuses of the dunya? And when, how long will we make these excuses in our life? It's not necessary, it's not needful, it's not apparent. How long will you hear my words and how long will I listen to your words? This deen is the deen of amal. Every second a Muslim, when he listens to a hadith, he should say that if I'm not doing amal on what I've learned for the rewards, then maut will come tomorrow, then I'll be desperate for the rewards. So why am I delaying? If I hear a hadith, one sahabi, when he heard the hadith of Rasulullah, he went from the blessed gathering and he saw the other sahabi and he said, what have you learned today? He said, today I heard from Rasulullah this. He said, that person's libas is below his ankles, that portion will go into Jahannam. He had torn dhoti on his body. He put the wood down that was on his head. When he heard this hadith, straight away he put the wood on the ground and he took hold of his dirty and torn clothes and he tore the izhar and the dhoti that was below his ankles. He said, why are you in a rush? You could have gone home and your dhoti is half torn anyway. He said, Allah's Nabi has reached to me his hadith and I don't do amr on it immediately. How can this be? This is the deen of Islam. How can we dare today that Rasulullah has told us something that you need to do this amal and a man doesn't do amal on this and he makes excuses that it's not necessary and then he thinks in the akhirah he will get paradise and he will get coolness in the grave? Today, promise to yourselves that Rasulullah, any sunnah, never consider sunnah as minor. Otherwise, we'll be desperate in thereafter. Otherwise, our time that we're wasting in this world, you won't be asked that how many chillas you went on, how many times did you go to this gathering, how much dhikr did you do, how great a wali were you. There'll be one question in the grave. Show us your amal in the world. Show us every second the amal you do in the one. If you go to a majlis and learn ilm and you do practice on the amal, I swear by Allah you'll be successful. Whatever you hear, do amal straight away. Whatever you hear, but we listen, 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 listen. We go to so many beyonds, we hear so much. We have become deaf, dumb and blind. We're not interested in doing amal. This life, dunya, why is tabliq, majlis, is this a game? These are ni'mas of Allah, ilm. Go, listen, read, and straight away, immediately, as soon as you're free from that reading or listening, you go to tabligh, then your life should change. Sins should come off the body. Amal should come into your life. If you spend time in the majlis, in the gathering, you should not spend time. My life should change. My amal should increase. But if I learn everything and I don't do amal, at least do amal on one thing. At least that one thing maybe give us success. At least it will be written that this person heard this and he had value on this and this taste and enjoyment. So my brothers, let's realize Allah's anams, Allah's rewards and favors that now I'm sitting here, I've heard this. This is good news. This amal, I need to start the amal on this action straight away. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. So today let's promise every amal we learn about Allah, these kalamats that we're reciting today in the majlis, there's so much reward. Allah, you're giving me this reward right now. It's right now. That, for example, if I say to you, I'll give you £10,000 right now if you do this action. You say, huh? £10,000? Oh, why? Can you give me again? And you'll run after the action again. £10,000. Subhanallah. If Allah is saying, I'll give you Jannah, 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 paradise, treasures. Allah, you give this to me. I should sit here, tremble, sweat. Allah, I'm not even capable of this. Am I not enjoying this now? I should enjoy doing that action then. Isn't it? And then see, I'll give you an example. If I say to you now, that look, do this for me right now. 4 or 5 hours, if you work for me. Yeah? And you do, and there's a Mercedes here. And if you work 4 hours, I'll give you the keys to this Mercedes. Oh yeah, no problem. Tell me how much more to do. Whatever action I give him, he'll feel enjoyment, taste, and he'll run after the action for 4 hours. Why? Because he knows what's he going to get at the end of the day? The Mercedes keys for the Mercedes, brand new. So if I didn't tell him he's going to get Mercedes, no, sorry bro, I can't do it. I'm busy, just 10 minutes I've got for you. Oh, 30 minutes? No, that's too hard for me, I can't do it. But he says, no, wait. That if you do all of this action for 4 hours, and I'll give you this brand new Mercedes with the keys here. You say, yeah, no problem, bro. Oh, I enjoy this action. I'm enjoying myself. Why? Because all of the enjoyment is the Mercedes. Allah is saying, here, today, wake up for Fajr Salah right now. And after Fajr Salah, what will I give to you? Hey, look, paradise is in front of you. Take it. Subhanallah. Will a man not run to Salah then? Fajr? Of course he will. But shaitan puts the veil, the curtain between the reward and our fajr. So what do we need to do? Put the rewards in front of you. If I wake up, if I don't go to fajr, then this reward will go. Allah says, I'm giving you paradise. Stand up, doesn't matter what happens. Get up, rub your eyes, get up. Run to salah. And if this feeling comes tomorrow, later, then this is the biggest deception of shaitan. I've seen many people in my life, they're sleeping, snoring. I've seen this in my life. 2 days they're into the wedding. How many days? 2 days he got married. He came to me in the night. Subhanallah. After 2 days of getting married, he said, Hazrat, I want to do tawbah. That I looked towards that woman and I think, is that woman? He said, yeah, I got married 2 days ago. I said, you want to do tawbah now? I was amazed that this young man who was doing sins up to 2 days ago and he's about to get married or he's just got married. And he said, I want to do tawbah now. I don't feel like the dunya anymore. And I'm about to get married. I've prepared for the wedding. It's 2 days to go to the wedding. And he did tawbah. He promised about salah, growing the beard, leaving haram, leaving the sins, following sunnah. Total promise. True promise he promised to Allah. He said, okay, inshallah, from today and tomorrow I'll come to dhikr. And I said, fine. Morning, 10 a.m., I got a phone call. I said, what is it? They said, that brother who came and he did tawbah last night, he passed away. Subhanallah. His janazah is tomorrow morning. So this is life, brothers. There's no guarantee. Don't know what happened. Just hours later and today, we think, oh, he had a heart attack. We hear. That's it. That's it. Every second a man needs to think that dhikr I'm doing today, the forgiveness I'll give this, I won't maybe get this tomorrow. That Allah Ta'ala has given it to me today. Let me value it today. Right now, we see people leaving the dunya every day, every day. So these two things we need to become firm upon. Whenever you're getting reward, think, this action I'm doing, what's the reward? That's why many times it happens. People, then when they're told the rewards, why are we told rewards? So that when we forget, we are lazy into the amal, we should remember, what's the reward for this? Ah, I'm wasting this big reward. For example, that person, oh, if I don't do this action, I won't get the murk after 4 hours. Won't get the Mercedes. So today I have to think, if I don't do this action, if I don't do dhikr, if I don't go to the majlis of dhikr tomorrow, then I'll lose everything. Al-Ujr, there are so many rewards in the majlis in the morning. After Fajr, from Fajr to Ishraq, sunrise, there are so many hadith upon hadith. That this is the reward for those dhakirin who sit in dhikr in the morning. And one small reward which is common. One common reward, which is a great common reward. That when a person does dhikr wala in the morning after Fajr, and he sits after Fajr in the same spot and does dhikr wala until sunrise and prays 2 rakah, 4 rakah, Ishraq. Soon as he gets up, maqbool, accepted Hajj and Umrah for that person. Subhanallah. Tell me. And then a person comes out, I've done Umrah and Hajj. And I'm getting the reward. And maqbool, accepted. Tell me. Don't we need this? Don't we need this? Such people who remember the rewards, they don't worry about death. They don't worry about more. They say, oh, why is death come now? Allah, I want to do some more deeds so I could get close to Allah. لا خوفٌ عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They have no fear or grief. They just think, oh, if I've got a few more days, I can do some more amal, do dhikr of Allah more, and do ibadat more, and read Quran more. So brothers, rewards, the inamat of Allah are great, they're fantastic. On every deed, every second there's a reward. So whenever you do an amal, what do you think? What's the reward I'm getting now? Why shouldn't I run after this more, get taste more? May Allah give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen. Let's recite Durood Sharif.